flushed a boy, a broken toy, a plaything, plaything. I'm a foster boy.
Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for culturalmining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Jamal is an angry 19-year-old who finds himself back in a Chicago courtroom once again. He's a product of the deeply flawed foster care industry, a privatized system which left him physically and mentally scarred in and out of jail. But this time, he's before a judge voluntarily. He's suing the corporation that put him through hell. His lawyer, an unsympathetic corporate stooge who has been assigned his case pro bono by a sympathetic judge. Jamal just sees a three-piece supporter of the system he's fighting. And the lawyer sees Jamal as a thug he's ordered to represent. Can the two of them fight the power of an abusive system together? The one that made him a foster boy? Foster Boy is the name of a new courtroom drama and legal thriller inspired by true events that was the opening night feature at the Toronto Black Film Festival. It's produced by Shaquille O'Neal, directed by Yusuf Dallara, and stars Shane Paul McGee, Matthew Modine, and Louis Gossett Jr. The script is by J. Paul Derritani, a screenwriter who's also an accomplished Chicago lawyer and a foster youth advocate. Foster Boy is available across North America at the Toronto Black Film Festival through Sunday, and I'm very pleased to have J. Paul Derritani here at CIUT via Zoom to tell us more about Foster Boy. Hi, Jay. Thanks so much for calling.
My pleasure.
So, Jay, I like Foster Boy a lot. I love a good courtroom thriller. So where did the idea for this story come from?
Well, Daniel, I've been a lawyer for 30 years, and I've practiced in different types of litigation, medical litigation, corporate litigation. But then one day a lawyer came to my office who refers cases to me. Sometimes we send cases back and forth, and he doesn't do litigation, and I do. And he said, I want you to take a look at this file and see if you can do anything with it. And it involved a young man who was 16 who was placed in a foster care system, and he had molested three of the foster kids in the home. So I dug around, and I didn't even know quite how to proceed because it was a different area of law than I was used to. And really, there wasn't a lot of law on this area. But as I start ordering records, they start fighting me. And pretty soon I discovered, well, this is a corporation, a for-profit corporation, in fact, and I discovered records that indicated that they knew that this young man was a sexual predator, and he had sexually molested the other young, much younger children in the home and didn't tell the foster parents at that time. So I filed the lawsuit. We proceeded. We fought, to save a long story, we fought many, many battles, and right as we were trying the case, they settled it. Then I wrote an article, had several other cases, and now I take these cases all over the country. And at the same time, I've also, my other passion or my love of life is to be a writer, and I'd been writing some screenplays, and I wrote some theatrical plays, and they had some notoriety there. But then I went back to school for my MFA, and my professor, John Schimmel, said, you know what? I want you to write what you love. I want you to write what impassions you. And I said, well, what's going on in the foster care system in the United States is what impassions me. So I wrote this, and then he said, John Schimmel told me, I want to show it to a producer, which surprised me. And then he did, and then pretty soon we got to Shaquille O'Neal, and then he said, let's go. We're doing this film. And that's what inspired it.
So in the movie, as you say, the villain is this huge corporation that profits by deliberately placing foster kids in environments that they hope will fail. They can make more money if it doesn't work. Can you explain this?
Yeah, what I was surprised to find out, really what shocked me about the entire system, is that there are these for-profit foster care companies. And, you know, we have for-profit jails, and I don't agree with that. And they provide less service, and people wind up with more medical problems, so forth. But I don't know how you can justify at all using children as a commodity. So that shocked me. But then when I saw the manner in which they were paid, I was just taken aback. They're paid by placement, which means, let's say they get, for example, $5,000 for a placement. Their contract then allows them $5,000 every time the child's placed. So when you think about that, Daniel, what it does is it incentivizes poor placements. And it's my belief that some of these corporations did that just to gin up the money. In other words, they take Joey and they put him in a home and they don't really care if it fails, because then they place him in another home and they make another $5,000, and another home and they make another $5,000. It's a corrupt and really unfortunate system where the children are victims.
Well, let's talk about that. So after being a foster child since age of four, Jamal, he ages out into the real world, but he finds himself trapped in a revolving door system with another one, as you mentioned, the carceral system, the prison. So can you talk about the false equivalence between foster children and criminals?
Sure. I think that's interesting. Well, first of all, 40% of the children who wind up aging out of foster care wind up in jail, homeless, or dead within 3 years.
It's a frightening statistic.
Isn't it? It's shocking, and it's just horrific. And a lot of these young men, specifically more young men than women, but women too, but a lot of these young men wind up in prison. And the reason is because they have nothing, and then they can't get jobs, and then they go to crime. And then sometimes some of these young men have been so abused in the system, especially, you know, there's correlation between sexual and physical abuse and going out and committing crimes. It's not a one-to-one correlation, but there's certainly a lot of studies that show that, you know, abused, especially sexually abused young men will or can turn to violence. So we're not doing the system. Even if you are the most conservative Republican and you don't believe in giving a lot of money to social programs, the bottom line is, if you want to reduce jail population, then let's get these kids early and let's treat them right. It's morally the right thing to do, but it's also economically the right thing to do.
In the U.S., the Black and Latinx community disproportionately bears the brunt of the problems of the foster care system. In Canada, it's Indigenous people, an even larger percentage, although there are fewer people in foster care. Why are these figures so skewed?
Well, I think there's systemic racism that is present. And when you combine economic poverty with systemic racism, you have a perfect storm in which these children are maltreated. I don't think that you have white kids from the suburbs of Toronto or the suburbs of Chicago who would be treated this way. I think, honestly, if you think about it, basically foster children are the only children. It's the last group that has no lobby. They don't have powerful interests fighting for them. They have no money. They have no lobby. They can't call their senators. They can't call their congressmen. So they have no way to fight. And that's why, you know, this movie is so important to me, and I hopefully to the community. And I think it's making an impact, is because this is our chance to fight back. Instead of speaking to 12 people in front of a jury, I can speak to hundreds of thousands, hopefully millions, and say, hey, we have a broken system here. But, you know, we do see a higher rate of young African-American individuals in the prison system and Indigenous individuals, both in America and in Canada. So I think that we have to take a step back and look at our conduct. And, you know, hopefully the Black Lives Matter movement and the scab of racism that has been there for so long can get peeled off, so we can look at the wound and start making a difference, because we need to end systemic racism, and then we will start ending the incarceration of young men in prison and end the the disproportionate amount of young men and women, of course, who are in the foster care system.
Jay, this movie's told from two points of view. Jamal, the adult product of the foster system, and Trainer, who's the amoral corporate lawyer assigned to represent him. Most people who write scripts or books say the characters are partly based on aspects of themselves and partly on people they encounter on the way. So let's start with Jamal. What part of yourself is in Jamal's character?
Oh, I thought you would ask about the lawyer.
I know. This is a trick.
This is a different question. I didn't expect this one. Wow. Interesting. I'd have to think about that for a moment. Well, I suppose this. You know, I grew up in Detroit, and I grew up in the late 60s, early 70s in Detroit, and it was really racially divided. There, of course, was the 67 riots. I was 4 years old, but I remember them to this day because there were tanks going down my street, and it was just shocking. And I also remember the divide. You know, there was kids on one, the Italians kept separate from the Irish, and everybody kept separate supposedly from the from black folks. And then on my first day of fourth grade, I walk in and there is this wonderful, beautiful, amazing woman named Mrs. Bunton, my fourth grade teacher, who just welcomed me with open arms, and she was African American. And I don't know if that, and also see my history of and seeing what's happened in Detroit, made me recognize that we are all equal, we're all one people, and we need to treat each other with great respect. Or I'm not quite sure, but I certainly think that that teacher, that educator, made a huge difference in my life. And I also saw the effects of busing and what went on. So I think that I didn't know anything about BLM, obviously, when I wrote this film, because it didn't exist. I wrote it 2 years before BLM. But I knew about systemic racism, and it's a theme that goes throughout the film, and because basically you have this white lawyer who doesn't trust this young African-American man, and he doesn't even think he's racist. He's got blinders on. And so I think if there's anything in Jamal, it's the innocence of what happened, and just seeing, I wanted to create a character that was tough, and he is tough on the outside, but then he's really kind and vulnerable, and he also winds up being the hero. It's interesting because there's always been these white savior movies in the past, but this film flips it on its head because it's really Jamal that winds up saving Michael's character, the lawyer, because the lawyer is, you know, this flawed character. He can't relate to his son. He can't relate to his wife. He's divorced from his wife, and he's really lonely, and that comes through. And it's Jamal that helps him see a different side to himself and create a big change within himself.
So great movie. Just very briefly before we finish, what should people do who are interested in the film and interested in the issue of foster care? What should people turn to?
I'm glad you asked that, Daniel. There's fosterboy.com, and then we have on our site, fosterboy.com, we have different sites. You know, one of the things that you can do, I think in Canada as well as the United States, is become a CASA volunteer, which is a court-appointed advocate for children. And there's some training involved, but you don't have to have college or anything like that. You just have to have loved children. And it's basically kind of a big brother through the court system. There's also, I would invite people, even if you're an older couple and you're empty nesters, or if you're just a young single person, you know, either big brother, big sister, or perhaps consider fostering. It's not as hard as you think. I'm a foster parent. Yes, sometimes it's hard, but if you have love in your heart, then there's plenty of room. And I think that it is one of the most rewarding experiences that we can have.
And I'd also like to mention the First Nations Child and Family Caring Society, which raises and fights for a lot of these issues in Canada as well. Thanks so much for talking with me, Jay.
My pleasure, Daniel.
J. Paul Derritani is the Chicago Pace lawyer and human rights advocate and the screenwriter of Foster Boy, playing through Sunday at the Toronto Black Film Festival. Go to torontoblackfilm.com for tickets, and available digitally and video on demand across North America. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies Eat Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.